Over to you guys.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to pull myself together again after all of that. It's a little challenging, so please forgive me. But what I want to talk about today is really how the church in Acts show us what the early church was like and how the early church lived in community together. And actually one of the songs we sung there this morning was about God, let your kingdom come. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. Jesus spent a lot of his time talking to people about the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom of God is coming. And the church in Acts were the beginning of, I guess, the living out of what that looked like. And we, as a church community and as a church family, that's part of our call, is to demonstrate what the kingdom of God is like, what it should look like, what it can sound like, and how we are called to live in community that reflect the kingdom of God. So far in the last 3 weeks, we have looked at how the church and the people, the Christians in Antioch, in Jerusalem, had begun to live this new way of life that Jesus had talked about. They were following his teachings, they were living in close relationship with God and with one another, and that this made them very distinctive and attractive to the people around them, because they were living in a very different way, this new way. And then we heard about how they were very aware of their calling to be witnesses, because one of the last things that Jesus said to them was, go and tell people, go and make disciples, go and tell people about what I've taught you, everything that I've taught you, everything that you've seen about this kingdom of God that you can be part of. The church were very aware that this was part of their calling from God. And then last week we heard from Sue about how they did that by living in the power of the Holy Spirit, that they took on board that Jesus said, the reason he was returning back to his Father in heaven was so he could send the fullness of the Holy Spirit into each individual's lives. And so last week we heard about the impact of that, and that that's still today something we can enjoy, that relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can live in the fullness, we can ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. So today we're going to look at how these things, the new way of life, impacted on how the church lived together, on how they related to one another and to other people around them. So this new way of life was all about telling people that they could have a restored relationship with God through Jesus, because of what Jesus did on the cross and because he rose again to life, and that there was a different and better way to live, I guess, in this kingdom of God that was very different from the kingdom that they were living in around them, that they'd been born into, I suppose. And that the very reason for Jesus coming in the first place was to restore mankind's broken relationship with God. You know, we have to go back to the beginning of the Bible to see that the whole, you know, we were made for relationship with God, but we broke that relationship, because in every single one of us has broken that relationship, because we as individuals have turned our back on Father God, and we have distanced ourselves from him, and our behavior meant that we could not have that relationship. So Jesus came to restore that broken relationship with God. And we know as believers, as followers of Jesus, that the basis of our relationship with God is his love. It's not about us. It's not about anything we can do or can do to prove that we are worthy, because actually we're not. The basis of our relationship with God is simply his love for us. And that's an incredible thing. And we can see from the book of Acts that the disciples' lives were filled with this love. They overflowed with this love as they shared life with one another and as they told others about Jesus.
So Jesus came to show a new way of living with one another. And 2,000 years later, we're still learning to live that new way. In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which are called the Sermon on the Mount, we can read that Jesus' teachings about relating to others are radically different to the usual Jewish thinking and living. He says that God is not only interested in how we act towards others, but that God is concerned about how we think. He's concerned about our attitudes and our motivations, and he wants us to change from the inside out. The threshold of do not murder becomes do not sin, even when you become angry. And equally, do not commit adultery becomes even to look with lust on a woman is just as bad. Instead of repaying an eye for an eye, Jesus says that we are to forgive. Instead of just loving our neighbor, Jesus says that we are to love our enemies and to pray for them. When giving to the needy, Jesus tells us to do it quietly and without drawing attention to ourselves. And we see that Jesus teaches that we don't need to worry about our lives, but to trust in God to take care of us, to live a God-dependent lives, not a self-dependent life. Jesus taught a radical new way to live that was so different from the life of rules, regulations, and law. Instead, it's all about love, mercy, and grace. It's about relationship and not religion. This can be summed up in this verse from Matthew 7, verse 12. Do to others as you'd like to have them do to you. Be proactive. Do it first. This is the golden rule. The church in Acts lived by following these teachings, and this made them very distinctive from the people who lived around them. They were disciples of Jesus, students, learners, followers, apprentices of Jesus. They were passionate about their life with God and were prepared to change their whole way of living to stay close to him, to honor him with their lives, and to tell others about him.
Okay, so what did that look like? Let's look at some verses from Acts. So we've got Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, and this is from the New International Reader's Version. The believers studied what the apostles taught. They shared their lives together. They ate and prayed together. Everyone was amazed at what God was doing. They were amazed when the apostles performed many wonders and signs. All the believers were together. They shared everything they had. They sold property and other things they owned. They gave to anyone who needed something. Every day they met together in the temple courtyard. They ate meals together in their homes. Their hearts were glad and sincere. They praised God. They were respected by all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group the number of those who were being saved. So from these verses we can see, it's not complicated. We're not drawing out some deep theological things from those verses. We can just see them as a simple example. They lived in close community together. They met together regularly, daily even. Some of them were able to. They met together in large gatherings, like we are this morning. and in smaller groups in their homes. They'll have met in twos and threes or fives and tens or much bigger in the temple. And when they did that, we talked about the disciples' teachings, what they'd been hearing maybe in the big gatherings. They reminded one another of Jesus' teachings. They built a strong foundation of faith in the teachings of Jesus, what the disciples had taught, were teaching them about this new way of living. What else did they do? By sharing life together, they gave mutual support and encouragement. They cared for one another. This wasn't just we're in this group. We've all got a similar kind of interest. So how can we build? You know, how can we work together in this? This was a real heart-to-heart life and communication. They understood that they needed each other to stay strong in their faith, just as we do. We need this weekly encouragement and this week-by-day-by-day connection. They needed to be connected to the group, and they knew that. They needed to have good relationships, and they wanted to. This wasn't just Jesus didn't say to them, right, this is what you've got to do, guys. You've got to live day by day like this, and you've got to meet in the temple regularly, and you've got to do the teaching. No, Jesus set the example by loving his disciples. And as I said before, our relationship with God is based on God's love for us, and he wants that spread out into our lives and through our lives to others. What else did the people in Acts do, the church? They shared life together. They prayed together. They worshipped together. They broke bread together to remember Jesus' sacrifice. They laughed together. They cried together. Some of us do that more than others. They lived in fellowship as a family of believers. And today, we refer to ourselves as a church family to reflect that whole sense of we're in this together. We want to do this together. We want to encourage one another. We want to love one another. Because actually that's following Jesus' example of what he did with his disciples when he lived for 3.5 years in close connection with his disciples day by day. They lived in a peace and joy-filled atmosphere amongst them. And that was very different from the society around them, which, as Hilt said before, was filled with rules and rituals and certain things to wear and certain things you had to do be done on special days and you couldn't do them on other days. And it was life was full of rules and regulations and restrictions. And I can imagine there was probably a fair degree of revenge. You know, this whole eye for an eye, if you do that to me, I'm going to do it back to you, or even worse. You know, that was the general atmosphere around them. And there was a lot of fear around them, obviously, because they were still under Roman rule. But by living in this new way, in this different way, God gave them favor with their community. And so they had increasing opportunities to tell other people about what Jesus had done, about to bring the good news of salvation and restored relationship through Jesus, and not through following rules and regulations and instructions that they'd grown up with. This was a whole new way of living, and they had God's favor on them. So if we look at Acts chapter 4, we see another example of this. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. All the believers were agreed in heart and mind. They didn't claim that anything they had was their own. Instead, they shared everything they owned. With great power, the apostles continued their teaching. They were telling that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And God's grace was working powerfully in all of them. So there were no needy persons among them. But from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales. They put it down at the apostles' feet. It was then given out to anyone who needed it. So it's a great example of their open-heartedness towards one another, that actually nobody claimed that everything they had was just for them and for their family. There was very much a sense of open hearts and open hands. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. this is what we have, this is available to anyone who needs it. And both in a physical, practical way, as well as in a heart and spiritual way. They were just so open-hearted with one another. It spoke to the people around them. And then we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, an example of how the church communicated amongst themselves and how they dealt with complaints and difficulties that arose. So in those days, the number of believers was growing, and the Greek Jews complained about the non-Greek Jews. They said that the widows of the Greek Jews were not being taken care of. They weren't getting their fair share of food each day. So the 12 apostles gathered all the believers together. All the believers, not just the 12 that were there, but all of the believers. And they said, it wouldn't be right for us to give up teaching God's word. And we'd have to stop teaching to wait on tables, like to serve food. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 of your men. They must be known as men who are wise and full of the Holy Spirit. We will turn this important work over to them. Then we can give our attention to prayer and to teaching God's word. This plan pleased the whole group. And it goes on to talk about who they chose. And I just think that's great, the example that actually the disciples weren't saying, oh, that's we don't need to get involved with that. That's just a silly little thing. Serving food to the widows, because in those days, of course, the widows didn't have any, there was no social services. Widows were very dependent on the community around them or their own family to provide for them. And the church were providing for the women who could not work, who couldn't earn money and maybe didn't have any family near them to support them. But I love the disciples' attitude that this important job needs to be given to people who can do this well, so that we can continue to do what we need to do well. But this is still really important. So let's all work together. Let's choose together who is going to take care of this really important role of providing food for the widows. And you know, this could have been a situation that caused great disagreement. It could have caused great distress, because there was obviously a feeling here there's some discrimination going on. And the disciples were saying, that's not of the kingdom of God. This is not God's way. We want everyone to be involved. We want everyone to be given equal care and to be included fully with everything that there is going on around us. So let's choose people who will serve well and to give this important job to them. There was no sense of superiority at all. And I love that, because they wanted the whole community of believers to move forwards together. And I just thought that was a really lovely little example of how everyone is important, that no one is more important than anyone else. There's not a hierarchy of importance in the kingdom of God. We are all equal. We are brothers and sisters, all have the same value. We have different roles and responsibilities, but we don't have different importance. Each one of us is of great value and equal importance. So some little examples there of what that looked like in daily life. And I came across this quote when I was reading a little study book about Acts earlier in the week, just like almost like a little brief summary of what I've just said there. It's by Phil Moore, and it's a great study book. If you want to get a bit deeper and a bit more out of Acts, I can really recommend it. I've read lots of it. And he says, the 3,000, that is the number of people that were in the church at that time, the 3,000 gave their lives to become part of the alternative community which lived for Jesus in Jerusalem. Master rubbed shoulders with slave, and both treated one another as brothers. Jews from Africa, Europe, Asia, and Judea shared their homes and lives with one another. They were consumed with Christ, and they poured out their lives to be part of his community.
Sounds great, doesn't it? But what about us today, in our society and in our culture? What difference does all of this make in us today? Well, we can read from the book of Acts and see that here is a great example of how a church family can be for us and for us to follow. We are part of God's continuing story in this world and in this life. And we have the opportunity to live in close relationship with God and with one another. Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am right in the middle of them." These people in the book of Acts, they're not superhuman. They're just ordinary people of their time. They followed Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in their own strength or in their own abilities. They were doing extraordinary things, living radically different lives because they knew Jesus. And they lived in close relationship with God through Jesus' sacrifice. Following Jesus affected their whole lives, just as we are called to follow him today and allow his life and his word to affect how we live. Following Jesus isn't about what we can do, it's all about what he has done for us. To follow Jesus is to admit that we don't have it all together, that we don't understand it all, we don't know it all, but there is one who holds everything together, including us.